morning, everyone. Great to be here this morning. Great to have 2 weeks in a row to speak God's word, to share some blessings that he has blessed me with. And going to talk about Caleb this week. Last week we talked about Joshua. Joshua was tremendous. God says to Joshua, be strong and courageous. And you know, Joshua was 31-0. He was undefeated. He took the promised land as God had promised he would. And it was because he stood on God's promises. And today I'm going to talk about our God is a promise-keeping God. He has a promise for you that he's going to keep. And he will not leave you or forsake you. He promised that to Joshua, and he promises that to you today. You know, God is so encouraging. And we need to trust in God's promises. We need to read how God gives promises one after another. You know, to Joshua, he said, I will give you the promised land. He says, I will make every place where your feet set. Nobody can harm you. No one will be able to stand against you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Obey my word. Don't look to the right or to the left. Those are some of the highlights from last week. Don't be discouraged. I'm with you wherever you go. So Joshua was 31-0 because he trusted God's promises. Caleb, on the other hand, he was sort of in the background, but at age 85, he took his promised land. Wow, at age 85, he took his promised land. And I'm saying to you today that you have a promised land you need to take. That you need to get off sitting in the pew and get out there and take your promised land. Don't let Satan discourage you. We get down and out sometimes and we stay away from fellowship and stay away from God's word. Don't let that happen. We need God's word so much. He has a promised land for you, but we have to be strong and courageous. Got to be strong and courageous because it's not for the weak of heart. You know, it's not for the weak of heart because everyone around you is not strong and courageous. They want to bring you down. But so grab hold of his promises. That's what we're going to talk about today. And something special that he said to Caleb, he says something about a different spirit. And I'm telling you, you need to have a different kind of spirit today to trust God's promises. It really takes a special power of the Holy Spirit to trust God's promises. Let's read Numbers 14, 20 through 30. The Lord replied, I have forgiven them as you asked. Nevertheless, as surely as I live, and as surely as the glory of the Lord fills the whole earth, not one of those who saw my glory and signs I performed in Egypt and in the wilderness, but who disobeyed me and tested me 10 times, not one of them will ever see the land I promised on oath to their ancestors. No, no one who has treated me with contempt will ever see it. But because my servant Caleb has a different spirit and follows me wholeheartedly, I will bring him into the land he went to, and his descendants will inherit it. Since the Amalekites and the Canaanites are living in the valleys, turn back tomorrow and set out toward the desert along the route to the Red Sea. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron, how long will this wicked community grumble against me? I have heard the complaints of the grumbling Israelites. So tell them, as surely as I live, declares the Lord, I will do to you the very thing I heard you say. In this wilderness, your bodies will fall. Every one of you 20 years or more who was counted in the census and who has grumbled against me, not one of you will enter the land I swore with uplifted hands to make your home except Caleb, son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, son of Nun. God is a just God. You know, he will not listen to people who disobey him. He will not. 10 times his own people, the Israelites, disobeyed him. So he let them stay in the wilderness. They didn't get out of it. Only Joshua and Caleb were able to come out of the wilderness. And you know, 10 of the spies didn't have that kind of faith. They had a spirit of fear. And that spirit is alive and well in our country today, a spirit of fear. We can't succumb to that. We can't sit there and dwell on that, sit there and be scared by it. Why do these people, God, who witness one miracle after another, not trust God's promises? If we're not faithful, we can fall into the same trap. We all have problems and struggles. You know, 10 of them saw problems. Only 2 saw the solution. You know, we are in a minority. But we can change the majority around us. we can make changes in all those around us. So why are some overcome by problems while others overcome problems? You know, why are some left bitter and some are left better? Some people face challenges with fear while others with faith. Caleb did just that. I remind you in 14:24. But because my servant Caleb has a different spirit and follows me wholeheartedly, I will bring him into the land he went to, and his descendants will inherit it. God says to spirit of Caleb, you have a different kind of spirit that follows me wholeheartedly. Don't you want to hear God say that to you? I do. I have a different kind of spirit that follows God wholeheartedly. Granted, probably everyone in this room is a Christian, and you follow God. But there's a difference between just following God and following him wholeheartedly. That is what I'm talking about today. We need to love him with all our heart, mind, and soul, as the greatest commandment says, and love others the same way. Sometimes we love others the same, and we don't love God with all heart, mind, and soul. That's what Caleb did. And I'm so thankful that for his example, that he inspires me to love God wholeheartedly. But I'm here to tell you, it's hard to be like Caleb, but you can do it. You can do it because you're into his word. The word will change everything in your life. So follow God wholeheartedly. I'd like to give a shout out to two Calebs. You know, we haven't seen them in a while, but because of health issues, Floyd and Jules Nims are two Calebs to me. They're so encouraging. They send Diane at least two letters a week of encouragement. And they make these nice homemade cards. And Floyd sends me these long texts and just encourages me. He says, boy, brother, you are on fire. I love you. You know, he just goes one thing after another. He is a Caleb. He is, even though he can't be here, he is just encouraging me. He is worshiping God. He's sending texts. They're sending letters. They're worshiping. Even though they can't be here, they follow God wholeheartedly. We need to be like that. We need to find someone who we can encourage and build up and change their lives. We need that different kind of spirit. Keep it up, Floyd and Jules. We miss you. We miss you. And there's others, too. There's others. Don't let me just boost them up. I hear from them a lot, but there's others out there online. Thank you so much for your encouragement. So let's fast forward 45 years into Joshua. It's great how Numbers goes from there to Joshua 45 years later. And Joshua 14, 6 through 15. Now the people of Judah approached Joshua at Gilgal. And Caleb, son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said to him, you know what? The Lord said to Moses, the man of God, at Kadesh Barnea, about you and me. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to explore the land. And I brought him back a report according to my convictions. But my fellow Israelites who went up with me made the hearts of the people melt in fear. I, however, followed the Lord, my God, wholeheartedly. So on that day Moses swore to me, the land on which your feet have walked will be your inheritance, and that your children forever, because you have followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly. Now then, just as the Lord promised, he has kept me alive for 45 years since that time, he said this to Moses, while Israel moved about in the wilderness. So here I am today, 85 years old. I am still strong today as the day Moses sent me out. I'm just as vigorous to go to battle now as I was then. Now give me this hill country that the Lord promised me that day. You yourself heard that the Anakites were there and their cities were large and fortified. But the Lord helping me, I will drive them just as he said. Then Joshua blessed Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and gave him Hebron as his inheritance. So Hebron has belonged to Caleb, son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, ever since, because he followed the Lord, the God of Israel, wholeheartedly. Hebron used to be called Kiriath Arba, after Arba, who was the greatest man among the Anakites. Then the land had rest from the law. You know, I can just see Caleb talking to Joshua. You remember back then, 45 years ago, when we went into the land that God had promised us, and we saw what was going on. And boy, you know, I didn't like what was going on in Hebron. You know, Hebron was being run over by giants. I want that land. You know, remember that, Joshua? You know, it's just like when I get together with some of my old Christian buddies from 40 years ago. And I say, remember when we used to do this and do that? And how we stepped out on faith and just did things for the Lord right off the cuff. How we walked around and we sang Christmas carols from door to door during Christmas. How we did things that were powered by the Holy Spirit. You know, that's the type of spirit God wants us to have. At 85, Caleb gets his inheritance. 45 years of waiting. 45 years of waiting. You know, that's quite a testimony. You know, Diane and I have waited a long time for a blessing for her. And we haven't seen the blessing that we pray for, but we've seen other blessings. And that's what makes all the difference in the world. That's how God's promises come through. You know, and that testimony about 85, he had vigor. He had strength, just like he was when he was 40. Can you imagine that? I feel the same way. I'm getting along a little bit. I'm 66 years old, but I still have strength and vigor to be excited for the Lord every day and pass it on to others and share the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Bring others up, encourage them on. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for that vigor that you give us even in our older age. I won't say old age, you know, but older age, older age. And listen to these exciting words by the 85-year-old Caleb in verses 10 through 13. Now then, just as the Lord promised, he has kept me alive for 45 years since the time he said this to Moses, while Israel moved around in the wilderness. So I'm here today, 85 years old. I am as strong today as the day Moses sent me out. I'm just as vigorous to go out to battle now as I was then. Now give me this hill country that the Lord promised me that day. You yourself, then with the Anakites, were there, and their cities were large and fortified. But the Lord helping me, I will drive them out just as you said. Then Joshua blessed Caleb, son of Jephunneh, and gave him Hebron as his inheritance. You know, I am so thankful for the vigor that God gives me, the encouragement every day through the Lord. And it's the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm telling you, folks, it's the power of the Holy Spirit that dwells in you, that's waiting to jump out and be alive in your life and to others who need to hear it. I tell you, the Spirit is alive and well, but we need to follow God wholeheartedly. Six times, God says to Caleb, "You follow me wholeheartedly." Wow, God bless Caleb because he followed him wholeheartedly. Do you have that kind of spirit? Do you feel like you got that kind of spirit that follows God wholeheartedly? Have you caught the eye of God like Caleb? Boy, God's watching you. God is with you. God's seeing every move you make, and he loves it when you follow him wholeheartedly. Your life has to be one victory after another in Jesus. I'm telling you, we all have struggles. There's no doubt about it. We all have struggles. We have things that want to bring us down. But it's Jesus that changes everything, your perspective. As believers, we have the Holy Spirit. But you know what? You can quench it. The Bible says we can quench the Holy Spirit. You know, that's a sad thing, to quench the Holy Spirit. No Bible time. I don't have time to read the Bible. I got to get to Dunkin' Donuts and get my coffee. You know, I don't have time. I got to make sure I get there to get my coffee. And no prayer time. I got no time for prayer. I got no time for fellowship. I got no time to worship. We can quench the Holy Spirit. Don't fall into that trap. Don't let Satan have his way with your life. Don't be like the rest of the world who doesn't have time for God. So I ask you this question. What qualifies as a different kind of spirit? What qualifies as a different kind of spirit? It's the Lord. It's the Lord that qualifies you as a different kind of spirit. It's nine times, as we just have read in verses 6 through 14, the Lord gave Caleb a different kind of spirit. It's the Lord living in you that gives you the different kind of spirit. It's the Lord who lives in you. Nine times he says, "The Lord promised me." I stand on God's promises. He says, "The Lord sent you and me together, Joshua. We sent together to go into that promised land and take it. He sent me and you together. The Lord is the one who I follow wholeheartedly. No one else I follow wholeheartedly like I do the Lord. The Lord has blessed me The Lord has blessed me. The Lord has kept me going for all these years, 45 years in Caleb's life. The Lord promised me this land. He promised to take that mountain, that Hebron. The Lord will help me drive out the enemy. That's where we need the help. We really need the help to drive out that enemy, those doubts, those fears. That's what Caleb depended on. The Lord gives me victory, one victory after another. Now you got to say it. The Lord will bless you one thing after another. The Lord has promises for you. The Lord will send you to the right spot at the right time. The Lord will bless you abundantly, more than you can ask or imagine. The Lord has kept you going for all these years. In Diane's case, I can tell you, I've watched my wife, who's a powerful Christian, lose so much. But the Lord has kept her going all these years. That a big smile, that encouragement, that my biggest cheerleader is Diane. And she has just blessed me all these years, despite her MS. The Lord has a promised land for us. The Lord will drive out that enemy. The Lord will give us victory. It's the Lord that gives us the power of the Holy Spirit. Don't quench it. Live each moment of the life by the power of the Lord. It's in His Word. It's in His Word. I love it when I read God's Word. It just builds me up. 2 Timothy 1:7 is a great scripture. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline." I say amen to that scripture. Amen. The spirit that you have in your life is not a spirit to be timid with. It's a spirit that makes you strong. It gives you power. It gives you the ability to love the unlovable. It changes everything. It gives you power of self-discipline. Because I'll tell you, it does take self-discipline to stay committed to the Lord. It's the easy way out is to follow our old ways of life. But the new way is the Lord's word. It takes self-discipline to get up in the morning and pray, "Lord, help me. Help me take care of my wife in a special way that's going to lift her up in the Lord. Help me take care of my family in a special way that's going to lift them and draw them closer to you. Help me, Father, at work where others don't believe. Let your light shine in me. Help me to be strong in you." And He will give you the spirit of power, love, and self-discipline. Colossians 3:1-4. Colossians 3:1-4. "Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things, for you died, and your life now is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will appear with Him in glory." Wow, set your heart on Christ, where heaven is. Ultimately, that's our goal, to get to heaven and get as many people to heaven as possible. When I get to witness to somebody, I say to them, "Do you know anything about heaven?" That's where we want to be. That's where we want to get the people we meet and greet and love so much. We want to get them to heaven. And Colossians says, "Since you've been raised with Christ, set your minds on things above, where Christ is seated." And then he says, "Set your minds on Christ." Christ, our Savior. Christ, our Redeemer. Christ, our Forgiver. Christ who lives in us, who gives us power that we cannot dream of on our own. So set our minds on Christ, not earthly things. And finally, he says in verse 4, I love verse 4, "When Christ, who is your life." Can you say that? When Christ, who is your life. He's my life. He's your life. He makes everything brand new. "Then you will appear with Him in glory." Oh, I can't wait to see Jesus when He appears and appear with Him in glory. Because I made Him my life. My life. Give Him the glory. You follow God wholeheartedly. What does God's promises say? Ephesians 3:20. "Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work within us." Thank you, Lord, that He can give us more than we can ask or imagine. What He has waiting for you is more than you can ask or imagine. You young people don't have a clue what you're in for. He has something so special for you. I love it because our young people are being taught the Word of God. That scripture that Katie shared this morning, that's my favorite scripture. It's my favorite scripture, Romans 12:2. Get those scriptures on your heart and mind, in your lips, As Joshua said last week, God says to get my word on your lips and share it with one another. I thank you, Katie, teaching those young people that special scripture. I ask you again, does your spirit catch the Lord's eye? You know, I hope he does. Do you trust in God's promises? You know, Caleb sure did. Remember how we said he wanted that land of Hebron? Why did he want that land of Hebron? You know, that land of Hebron was where Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and their families were buried. And they had these giants running amok on it, making a mockery of the holy land of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and their families. Caleb wanted to go back and grab that land and take control of that land because his ancestors started a good work there. And I'm telling you, you have land that you need to go back and take a possession of. You can't let the enemy have its way with whether it be one of your loved ones, your spouse, someone in your family. You're going to need to fight with everything you can to take that land back. Caleb did it. He did it for 45 years, and you need to do it every year. It might seem like a struggle. You might wonder, I don't understand why my son or my daughter isn't following God the way I want them to, but you keep at it. You keep at it like Caleb did. Show that you trust God wholeheartedly. Pray like you've never prayed before. Keep on your knees, and God will give you that promise he promised you. Today, I'm telling you, you need to take back that holy ground. Don't give up on God. He has a promise for you. Read and reread God's word. Reread God's word. He has promises for you. I'm telling you, God's promises are so important. They are. They're so important to stand on. 20 years ago, I lost my granddaughter, Angie's daughter, Amalia, in my arms. And it was horrible. But it was God's promises that got us through it. It's God's promises that you need to stand on. There'll be a point in time where you can't understand why did this happen? And you need to stand on God's promises. We did. Our family got through it. It was only because of our faith in God. God's promises are important. Every one of them are true. He's got her. He had a place prepared for her. A room special for Amalia. He's up there hugging her and loving her right now. And someday we'll see her. But we stood on God's promises. You need to do the same thing. You need the same thing. Stand on those promises. Think about what he has promised you, and that he has a special plan for you. Thank God that he is a promise keeper. Joshua, back to Joshua 21:43. These scriptures right here are worth highlighting. This is the crux of the book of Joshua. This is what Joshua stood on and believed. So the Lord gave Israel all the land he had sworn to give their ancestors, and they took possession of it and settled there. The Lord gave them rest on every side, just as he had sworn to their ancestors. Not one of their enemies withstood them. The Lord gave all their enemies into their hands. Not one of the Lord's good promises to Israel failed. Everyone was fulfilled. Wow, God is so faithful. God is so faithful. God, in verse 43, he gave them the promised land that he had promised hundreds of years earlier to Abraham. Genesis 12:7. Genesis 12:7 says, the Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your offspring I will give this land. So he built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. It was hundreds of years earlier that God promised Abram the land that Joshua took. And you know what I love about Abram? Is when he heard God make a promise, he built an altar. He worshiped God. When God gives you a promise, build an altar and worship him and praise him. Above all, God has promises for you, and he will make them come true. It might take years, but in Abram's case, he didn't get to see him, but Joshua did, and Caleb got to see him, and they came true. We may not see what God is up to, but we need to worship and praise him and stand on his promises. You know, God gives victory back in Joshua 21:43. So the Lord gave Israel all the land he had given to their ancestors, and they took possession of it and settled there. God gives this victory. It wasn't Joshua or Caleb who won the battle. It was God who gave us the victory. And it's the same with you. If God who makes you more than a conqueror, not anything I say, it's God's word. It's God's blessings. You know, and the second part of this is God gives rest. Boy, do I need that. 21:44 says, the Lord gave them rest on every side, just as he had sworn their ancestors, and not one of their enemies withstood them. The Lord gave all the enemies into their hands. Wow, God gives us peace that transcends all understanding. I can tell you that happens. God gives me peace that transcends all understanding. I do live a life that's crazy, but it's God's word that gives me power and peace that transcends all understanding. He does give me rest. Thank you, God. Finally, God keeps all his promises. This is the verse. Not one of all of God's good promises to Israel failed. Every one of them was fulfilled. The scripture defines the book of Joshua. And God's promises will define you. You know, when it happened with Amaleah, we could have fallen apart. The family could have split. It could have been all kinds of division and blaming. There was none of that. God's promise got us through it. It was our faith in God that got us through it. His promises never fail. And I'm telling you, that's the same with you today. With all your heart, mind, and soul, that God is a promise-keeping God. So follow him wholeheartedly by the power of the Holy Spirit. Know that your God is fighting for you. And Joshua 23:8-11. I like this little nugget in Joshua 23:8-11. If you got a highlighter, highlight it. If not, just write it down in your bulletin and go back and reread it. But this is a special few verses. Joshua 23:8-11. But you are to hold fast to the Lord your God as you have until now. The Lord has driven out before you great and powerful nations to this day. No one has been able to withstand you. One of you routs 1,000, because the Lord your God fights for you, just as he promised. So be very careful to love the Lord your God. No matter what the odds are, you might have a few people against you, you might have 1,000. But I'm telling you, I'm here today to tell you, I feel victorious in God, and I pray that you would feel the same way. No matter who's against you, God will rout that 1,000 people that might be against you. Wow, can you imagine being able to take on 1,000 people? Because God is for you. He's fighting for you. There's victory in Jesus. I encourage you to learn from Joshua and Caleb. God says to Joshua, be strong and courageous. Obey me. Don't look to the right or to the left. Joshua was 31-0. I pray that you would learn something from Joshua. Learn how he stayed faithful all those years and got the promised land and was 31-0. Did everything by the power of God in his life. Same with you. You have giants. You have struggles. You have a God that's bigger than any of that. And how about Caleb? 85 years old, had a different kind of spirit. So don't give up. Don't give up. You have a different kind of spirit at all that follows God wholeheartedly. God is saying the same thing to you today. Be strong and courageous. You'll be undefeated. And I pray that you'd have that different kind of spirit, that power of the Holy Spirit that follows God wholeheartedly. So if you haven't accepted Jesus, your Lord and Savior, it's time to do it now. Time to do it now. Some of the young people might be ready. Might be ready to put Jesus on. Make him the Lord of your life. It changes everything. You will be able to have follow him wholeheartedly. You will have a special life that's committed something bigger than just what you see around you. I wholeheartedly believe we need something big, a goal to reach for. You know, a goal to reach for is to take that mountain as Caleb did at Hebron. He wanted that mountain. He had to wait 45 years to take that mountain, but he took it. We need something bigger than ourselves. We can't just sit in our own little world and wait for good things to happen. We need to seize the moment. Accept Jesus, your Lord and Savior, and make him the Lord of your life. I pray you'd say that prayer today and do that. If you need prayers as we sing the song of invitation, come forward as we stand and sing the song of invitation. Waymaker. Thank you. Thank you.